Here's Andy Udman.
So what are you asking City Hall to do about fluoride in our water?
We want them to stop putting the fluoride in the water until we have safety studies that prove that it is completely safe for human consumption.
You don't think it is?
No, sir. Well, no safety studies. They've done no toxicology studies. So how can they really be saying that it's safe for human consumption? This chemical has some fluoride in it, but it doesn't. It has a whole lot of other stuff, too.
We just don't want any sort of toxins in our water. This fluoride itself is more toxic than lead, yet they go around talking about lead, and they put something more toxic than lead in the water deliberately.
We know today that children's brains were damaged, were injured by the addition of lead to gasoline. You know, the implications of this new documentary evidence, the implications of these buried medical studies which are now in the public domain as a result of my book.
10 minutes now after 10 o'clock. You know, sometimes we only get a perspective on an issue when we look back. I can't believe, for example, that in my lifetime, you couldn't, if you were black, walk into a white barbershop in Dresden, Ontario, 40 minutes, 50 minutes from London, Ontario. You couldn't walk into a white barbershop if you were black, because there was another barbershop for those people just down the street. Can you believe it? That was in the lifetime of many of the people who are listening to this radio show this morning. I can't believe that at my sister's wedding, they handed out packages, full packages of cigarettes to every male, because women generally didn't smoke then, to every male over 16. I look back and I just shake my head. And I believe, well, I can't believe they put lead in gasoline. And I believe the day will be here soon when we will look back and say, can you believe we used to force people to drink fluoride in their water in places like London, Ontario? Well, there's a group out there, folks, who want to change all that, and they're going to be at City Hall this afternoon. They are led by Chris Gupta. He's an engineer and member of People for Safe Drinking Water. And I thought my stance on all of this was rough on the folks at the Middlesex London Health Unit and at City Hall. But Mr. Gupta is calling the city's position, here's the word now, asinine. Asinine. Mr. Gupta, I appreciate you joining us this morning. How are you this morning?
Fine.
Terrific.
Good morning, Andy.
Okay, let's start with you. You're going to City Hall this afternoon. What's the message?
The basic message is that we want a public debate on an issue that is, which is being sideswiped and fast-tracked without any public debate, which is totally undemocratic.
For people who have not been part of this discussion, and goodness knows we have discussed it many times on this radio station, what's wrong with fluoride in our water?
Well, there's nothing wrong with fluoride in the water if it was safe and effective, but it's not. That's what it isn't. And basically, they keep telling us it's safe and effective, and we just simply want to get some proof to show that it's safe. And they haven't provided us any proof, and they keep ducking the issue. And it's most perplexing because without any proof, they still insist that this is good for us. And just have no proof to show us that there's any toxicology studies or any kind of study showing the that this product is safe.
This product is
more toxic than lead, and yet they go after lead all the time.
Okay, so this substance is really industrial waste, and it is more toxic than lead. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now you'll have friends with you. One of them is Callie Miller. She is a registered nurse. She's on the line. Good morning, Callie.
Good morning, Andy.
Why are you going?
I'm going because I want it known that through all my research and in personal conversations with NSF, which is supposedly certifies this as safe, they say they are not responsible for testing for safety for human consumption. So I'm going to be at that meeting and hope we have a chance to talk to the committee.
What's wrong with fluoride? What is fluoride?
Well, fluoride is fluoride, but what they put in our water is not natural fluoride. It's waste from the fertilizer industries. It's called hydrofluorosilicic acid. And it has it does have fluoride in it, but we get a little lead, a little arsenic with it as well. It's never been tested. There are no safety studies. That's all we want. We're not pro-fluoride, con-fluoride. That's not the issue. The issue is the safety of the product that they're putting in to fluoridate our water.
I don't want to be disrespectful to our city councilors and to the Middlesex London Health Unit, but when guys who have PhDs write big, thick books with all the evidence against fluoride, they don't read them. So let's keep it really simple. 98% of Europe is fluoride-free. 97% of Quebec is now fluoride-free. 1/3 of the United States is now fluoride-free. Waterloo, Ontario has now ditched fluoride. Calgary, Alberta has now ditched fluoride. Chris, what is it about London, Ontario that makes us so smart that we can ignore what all these other folks are doing and we can continue to put this stuff in our drinking water?
Well, it's exactly because of these other cities who have had success in dropping fluoride that they've changed the strategy. Basically, what it is that this is an issue between actual health and policy. And here, what is happening is that policy is trumping all our democratic rights and our health issues. So they're defending a policy of fluoridation above everything else. So what has happened is basically that the city has abdicated its responsibility to go to dialogue with the people who elected them and given this over to something like the health board. And the health board doesn't put it in the water, so they're not responsible for it. All they do is they simply make a recommendation. And Health Canada as well, All it does is make a recommendation.
But this is a screaming outrage, and every time we get into this topic, I mean, my blood just boils because I keep coming back to my two grandchildren who live right here in London. They're drinking this water, and there's very clear evidence that a steady diet of water with fluoride in it diminishes their IQ. Callie, why is it? I don't think these are evil people necessarily at the Middlesex Health Unit or at City Hall. They're just not doing the research. You can go on YouTube and see any one of these authors that Pam Colleen has had on this show. You can see the evidence. How do they sleep at night not studying this evidence, Callie?
Well, I think they're misguided, and we have to look at policy. Their job is to support the policy that the higher-ups tell them to do. I honestly feel that they would lose their jobs if they recommended that they not fluoridate London's water.
Well, let me ask you about that. Not only would they lose their jobs, Dr. Paul Conan has suggested, but if they admitted that fluoride does to children what the evidence is more and more clearly showing it does, and that is diminish their mental capacity, they could have some whopping lawsuits on their hands.
Well, that's one thing. But, you know, people have new evidence showing up all the time. And if they're worried about lawsuits, then it's more important for them to stop it right now, because all they have to say right now is new information has come and we have changed our mind because of the new information. It's done deal. Nobody's going to bother them. But if they continue to keep fluoridating and forcing people to do it, then, you know, there may be lawsuits. So it's just backwards. It's not because they're afraid of lawsuits. It's just because they're pig-headed about the policy and for some ulterior motives, which I can just conjecture at the moment. But it's just I don't think lawsuits an issue. It's basically that, you know, in science you have always new information coming, and when new information comes, you adjust your recommendations based on new information. And all they have to say is, yes, we got some new information. We are stopping it because this could be dangerous. And that's the end of the story.
Well, we have to leave it there. Callie, you're going to City Hall this afternoon. Are you going to be heard?
I don't know, but there's just one thing I want to mention. There are two new studies, recent studies, showing that toxicology, animal studies, showing it is harmful.
Well, here's what gets me. Not only are there a ton of studies out there, and if city councilors are listening, my goodness, you can do this research in 30 minutes. You can go on YouTube. You can Google. I mean, there are a string of authors. We're going to meet one in just a moment who's written a book on this topic called Fluoride, the Autopsy of a Scientific Error. I cannot believe that our city councilors, with all due respect, aren't even doing their basic research. So I say go get them this afternoon and make them listen. Callie, I thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Andy.
And Chris, we'll probably be talking to both of you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Callie. We'll let you go. And Chris, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks very much.
In just a moment, I want to talk to Pam Colleen about all of this. And then after the break, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to that author of the book, Fluoride, the Autopsy of a Scientific Error. He's been so convincing in Quebec. Quebec is now 97% fluoride free. And here's the bottom line. Here's the kicker. Let's make this really simple. 98% of Europe is now fluoride free, like virtually totally fluoride free. The surveys clearly show the dental health of their children is at least equal to that of America, where most cities still have fluoride. I rest my case, folks, at London City Hall and at the Middlesex Health Unit. Do your homework before you make this crucial decision. John wants to weigh in quickly. John, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I think I heard somebody mentioning that the fluoride is actually hydrofluorosilicic acid. And there's a doctor in Austin, Texas, Dr. Laura Presley with two S's, that is also anti-fluoride. And the way she's got a new method to go against this is to look at the new material safety data sheet, which says that hydrofluorosilicic acid can cause damage to infants and children when the enamel formation is happening, as well as skeletal changes.
What's your point, John?
So just, that's all I wanted to mention there.
Okay, John, I appreciate it. And Bob Metz wants to join in, but he's going to have to be quick. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, no problem, Andy. Just a minor philosophical, well, major philosophical issue, actually. Whenever, I think it's an error to go into this. I'm generally on side with not having fluoride in the water, or at least not forcing it in there. But I think you are going to weaken your case if you go in any time saying, prove it's safe. It's not possible to prove anything is safe. What you can prove is if something is dangerous. And for that, you have lots of evidence. And the difference is immense. Because if you go into an argument saying, prove it's safe, you're going to lose. Because you're appealing to the precautionary principle, and the way that governments will react to that is by statistics. And they've already done that. They've said, well, yeah, some people are affected badly, but statistically, we don't see this on a large scale. And then you get into a really strange argument.
Yeah,
remember,
no.
That's what happened to Michael Schmidt, eh? Michael Schmidt has been is in front of a court case. No one has ever been sick from raw milk. And still he's being put out of business because of that prove it safe argument. So I'm just saying, stay away from that one. It's a deadly one.
Bob, I appreciate it. That's a good point. A short break. We'll be back with Pam Colleen, and then we'll meet the author after the break at the bottom of the hour. The book is called Fluoride, Autopsy of a Scientific Error. Folks, when the truth comes out on this one, we will be so ashamed. We will be so ashamed that we did not get fluoride out of the water sooner. It'll be painful. We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
We just don't want any sort of toxins in our water. This fluoride itself is more toxic than lead, yet they go around talking about lead, and they put something more toxic than lead in the water deliberately.
10:25 now. Pam Colleen joins us. Pam Colleen is my guest every Thursday, talking about nutritional and health issues. Pam, you've heard the folks who are on going to City Hall this afternoon. Is anybody at City Hall listening?
Well, from what I gather, no. I mean, we've been asking for the evidence to prove that it's safe, or whatever your other caller said, you know, prove to us that it's toxic. We know it's toxic because it's got a skull and crossbones on the package insert. The MSDS sheet shows very clearly that it's got a skull and crossbone on it and lists multiple health effects from exposure to hydrofluorosilicic acid. Now, we have asked for the studies, and so far they're either ignoring us or they're basically just skirting around the issue and not being able to provide us with the toxicology studies. So the two toxicology studies that have been published recently do show evidence for harm, and they're even ignoring those studies. So it just goes to show you the lack of democracy with regards to this decision. Dr. Conant has been on the show. You have very graciously invited the health unit to do a public debate with Dr. Conant on this issue. Every single time they get asked to debate this issue, they completely ignore it. And they're ignoring us in terms of our demands to prove the safety of this product. And so it's very, very disappointing that here in London, Ontario, in 2011, that voices of citizens are being disregarded.
We've made this too complicated, Pam. Apparently, they can't sit down and read a book written by three PhDs. Apparently, they can't go to the library and listen to Dr. Paul Conant. Or don't have time or whatever. They're just not doing the research. So let's make it really, really simple. 98% of Europe is now fluoride-free, and yet their children have teeth every bit as healthy as the children of North America, most of whom drink water that has fluoride in it. How much more simple could it get?
Well, they're cherry-picking the data. You know, they look at Dr. Conant's book, if they have, and see the 80 pages of references, and they basically say, we don't accept those studies, those published studies. They look at the NRC report, and they say the same thing. We just don't accept that research. They only accept the research that shows their side of the story. To them, there is no other side of the story. So, you know, this is not science, of course, and when you're starting to cherry pick like that. So, you know, I think what most people should do is just look on the back of a toothpaste container and see that it says if you swallow a small amount of this toothpaste, you're to go to poison control. How come we can, why is it we have this warning on a toothpaste container telling us that it's a poison? And, to go to poison control if we ingest even a small amount of it, but we aren't getting the same type of warnings in a glass of water. This is totally contradictory.
Okay. Just before we go to the break, and we're already overdue, can you just give a quick word about our author, Dr. Morin, who we're going to meet in just a moment?
Well, Dr. Morin is a toxicologist himself, and he co-authored the book, Fluoride,
Autopsy of a Scientific Error.
And he also worked for the Ministry of the Environment for the province of Quebec. And he is basically going to come on and talk to us about the toxic effects of fluoride that he has found in his research. And I want him to basically give the ABCs of what a toxicology study would look like so that our city councillors can actually go in and ask if this type of research has been done to basically show us any harmful effects of this substance.
Terrific. Pam Killeen, stand by. We'll be back with Pam Killeen and author Dr. Morin, author of the book Fluoride Autopsy of a Scientific Error, when we come back right after this news update right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 10:35 now on a beautiful, beautiful Monday, 28th day of November, rain on the way. There's an old expression, there is none so deaf as he who will not hear, none so blind as he who will not see. It absolutely amazes me, the attitude of the Middlesex London Health Unit and London City Hall, their attitude toward fluoride. Let's look at some basic facts. If you don't want to look at the science, look at the fact that Calgary, the city of Calgary, has voted to stop putting fluoride in their water. Why would they do that? Just to save the $750,000? Waterloo, Ontario, has voted to ditch fluoride. Quebec has voted to ditch fluoride. Over 90% fluoride-free. Europe, 98% fluoride-free, and their children's teeth are as healthy or healthier than the kids, than the teeth of American kids. What more research do they need? The issue goes to City Hall this afternoon, and that's why we're talking to a number of experts on the subject, our own in-house nutritional and health consultant, Pam Killeen. Pam, I wonder if you would introduce Dr. Morin.
Yes, Dr. Pierre-Jean Morin, he is a toxicologist, and he worked for the Ministry of the Environment in Quebec for many, many years. And he's an expert on fluoride and its toxic effects. He writes about this subject. He has been for many, many years.
Okay, Dr. Morin, I appreciate you joining us.
Yes.
I don't want to make light of the subject, but on your tombstone, have you already ordered the words, Quebec, 90 what percent fluoride-free?
97%.
97. That would make quite an epitaph on your tombstone. Quebec, 97% fluoride free. You're the father of a fluoride free Quebec. How did you convince them?
Well, it all started really with the when the Prime Minister decided that there would be an environmental ministry. And they were stuck with the phenomenon of water fluoridation. And they decided to do a complete survey of all the literature that had been published up to that point. And it was a two-year effort by 10 people, and we ended up with I'm one of the authors of, and one of the editors also, of that famous report, which eventually ended up in an American court of law in Houston, Texas, where the real trial for water fluoridation really is the Houston trial. Everything was covered. All the subjects concerning health and toxicity and so on and so forth were thoroughly discussed to the satisfaction of the judge.
Doctor, let me jump in and ask you to do this. We have a city council here and a Middlesex London Health Unit who are blindly following the traditional thinking that fluoride is right up there with God, flag, country, mother, and apple pie. They're not listening to the science. You've written a book called Fluoride, Autopsy of a Scientific Error. Tell us about this substance that they're putting in our drinking water.
Actually, it's an industrial waste product. And if you know the legislation in both Canada and the United States, these products, when the companies are stuck with them, they have to be neutralized and also stored in safe containers. And these containers have to be examined year after year, which is a tremendous cost to the actual producers of this industrial waste product. So the whole thing has been sort of a mass information, but not necessarily scientific information, mass information vehicled by the Dentist Association and the Public Health Services. And so actually the thing has no basis. It's never been tested for toxicity and also for efficiency. And the thing has been put in the water and it's been promoted by people who have a vested interest in the product.
Well, there's the key right there. They have a vested interest. Some of the same people, some of the same doctors, some of the same experts who convinced us all that it was okay, it was safe to put lead in gasoline, are the ones who convinced us to put fluoride in the water. Now, here's the question. In spite of all this evidence, and okay, if people won't listen to the evidence, that's one thing. But when everybody around you is dumping fluoride, getting rid of fluoride from water supply, like in Europe, 98%, like in Quebec, 97%, like in Waterloo, Ontario, like in Calgary, Alberta, and in so many cities across the U.S., New York City could be the next one. Dr. Morin, why aren't they listening in London, Ontario?
Oh, I don't know. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to consider the image of public health services, for example. You know, they have a huge image of well-doing, you know, when they go in for immunization and so on and so forth. They're protecting everybody's health. And they're stuck with their initial approval of the substance. And today it's very difficult to change that.
Now, Dr. Morin,
yeah.
You have published quite a bit of research, too. You've written, I think, a chapter in your book on the congenital diseases and their association with fluoride as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I published, when we were in Houston, Dr. Dean Burke, who is the co-founder of the National Cancer Institute in this state, decided that it was time to do a complete review of all the literature pertaining to mutations in cells and of course, what goes with it, cancer and congenital diseases. So he formed a team of six of the top people in the world, and he said, okay, now we're going to go and look at all that's been written. And this was a three-year effort. And there were six of us. I was the one writing, and the others were correcting. It's because some of them had been before courts in the United States and also before the U.S. Congress and so on and so forth. So there was a part that I didn't know about, but they were supplying the information. It was a three-year effort, and it was eventually published by one of the most prestigious scientific journal.
Dr. Moran, for the sake of time, why don't we cut right to the bottom line? What did all that research show about fluoride in our water?
It shows that there is no doubt that water fluoridation increases cancer mortality by a very sizable number. It's 31 persons per 100,000.
Can you give us that startling figure again? Sorry, doctor. Can you give us that startling figure again?
It's 31 people out of 100,000 deaths are due exclusively to water fluoridation. And congenital diseases in younger and younger mothers giving birth to children with congenital diseases, there's also a sizable increase there also. So I would say that the United States and Canada, those who go into fluoridation, are really building a debt in the sense that these are diseases which are actually people think of are limited to older people. Cancer increases with age, and congenital disease, mothers giving birth to children with congenital disease is also an aging factor.
That being said, doctor, and in the sake of time, because we have just a couple of moments left, could you directly address the Middlesex London Health Unit, Dr. Graham Pollitt, Dr. Bryna Warshawski, and plead with them to listen to what you're saying for the sake of all of our children here in London, for my two grandchildren, and all the children out there, all the people out there, about fluoride in our water in the 2 minutes that we have left?
Well, I think that you have to remember, for example, that they took lead out of the gas because it was damaging the children's brains, right?
That's right.
And in the product that they're putting in the water, there's a fair amount of lead and mercury, which are two highly toxic substances, which were removed from gas, and now it's being put back so that it's neutralizing the effort. The fact that you don't have it in gas, now you have it in water. It's nonsense. It's terrible, completely unscientific, and I can't understand that anyone who has any preoccupation with public health would continue to promote this very dangerous and deadly substance.
I would suggest, and let me get your reaction, that anyone who puts themselves in a position where they have authority over health issues in a community, like all of the employees at the Middlesex London Health Unit, and anyone who puts themselves in a position, in an elected political position, where they have influence on such issues, if they ignore the research, which is so convincing, and there's a mountain of it, that their behavior verges on the criminal.
I would go further in that. I would accuse them of being murderers. When you kill people, and there's no doubt, the study which clinches that statement is the Berkeley-Amuyana study, and it followed huge cohort of 18 million people for a period of 30 years in a period where it was water fluoridation was not generalized like it is now in the United States. And they showed that there was a sizable increase in cancer mortality, and I can accuse the people who are promoting it of being killers. That's the bottom line.
You're saying anyone in a position of influence on these issues, on the issue of fluoride in our water, if they do not study the issue and get fluoride out, is guilty of?
Being murderers.
Well, that's about as blunt as it can get. Dr. Morin, I wish we had more time. I thank you so much for joining us this morning. You've certainly made your point, and hopefully you've given cause for the folks at the Middlesex London Health Unit and our city councilors to have a sober second thought. We thank you so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Okay, Tom wants to jump in. Tom, quick comment before we have to go to the break.
Absolutely, Andy. I think Dr. Moran's comments are absolutely right on the money. I'm currently doing a master's of legal studies up at Western with a focus on environmental law and lead, fluoride, and my particular area of study, which is mercury, are so prevalent in our society, and so little has been done to stop the proliferation of human, the distribution of mercury through the incineration of power plants and coal-powered plants, and through effluent into water systems, that there should be more done. And he is absolutely bang on the money that they're aware of the scientific background. They know that these things are toxins that usually bioaccumulate in the body, and there needs to be something done at the source.
Tom, I thank you so much for your call. I wonder if I can get you to hold on. Ryan wants to get some contact information from you. We want to talk to you off the air, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, thank you so much. Short break. We'll be back with one more guest on this issue. Did you hear what you just heard? I mean, here's the author of a book on fluoride saying, anyone in a position of influence on this issue, if they do not deal with fluoride, are guilty of, he said it, murder. We'll be back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJB. I would suggest, and let me get your reaction, that anyone who puts themselves in a position where they have authority over health issues in a community, like all of the employees at the Middlesex London Health Unit, and anyone who puts themselves in a position, in an elected political position, where they have influence on such issues, if they ignore the research, which is so convincing, and there's a mountain of it, that their behavior verges on the criminal.
I would go further in that. I would accuse them of being murderers.
Pretty blunt talk from Dr. Pierre-Jean Morin, the author of the book Fluoride Autopsy of a Scientific Error. Now, I want to bring one more guest this morning to comment on this issue going to City Hall this afternoon. Pam Colleen, would you introduce Carol Clinch?
Oh, Carol Clinch. Basically, she is one of the leaders across Canada in helping communities get the fluoride out of the water. She monitors a lot of the research that's going on out there, and she was one of the principal characters behind getting fluoride removed from Waterloo recently.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Andy.
Did you hear the language from Dr. Morin?
Yes, I did. He was the former advisor to the Minister of the Environment in Quebec.
And that's why Quebec is 97% fluoride-free. Do you think his language was over the top, or is it accurate?
Well, we've got a lot of troubling trends going on here, and I found that what the councils don't understand is the incredible inconsistencies between the conclusions made by government agencies and the actual data in their reviews. For example, in the Health Canada review, a one-month-old infant drinking powder milk-based formula exceeds the safe limit for fluoride set by the Institute of Medicine by 3,300%, and yet Health Canada claims it's safe. Now, this is completely inconsistent. And then the CDC of the United States also has incredible inconsistencies when they claim that it's one of the 10 best public health initiatives, and yet in their own documents, they specifically and explicitly state that fluoride, if it works, only works by applying it topically directly on the surface of the tooth and in very high concentrations.
Carol, we have only 90 seconds. You were able to convince Waterloo and a number of other communities like Calgary to ditch fluoride from their water. 90 seconds. Can you make your strongest pitch to our city councilors and the Middlesex London Health Unit about how important this decision is?
I submitted a complaint to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency last fall in November, and I just recently received their response. They have stated clearly that a product with fluoride added to it and put into bottles called nursery water, the health claims made for these products are not legal. The health claims made for bottled fluoride water are not legal. The question now is for the citizens of London, are the health claims made for the fluoride water that comes out of your tap legal or not?
Wow. Well, Carol, give us a Reader's Digest version of what your advice would be to City Council as they tackle this tonight.
I suggest that they actually start investigating the product itself that is used in the drinking water. Is this product accountable? Are the manufacturers of this product accountable for the safety and effectiveness claimed by those who promote it? Is the product open and transparent to the city members? Do they know what the product actually is?
Well, it's
Does
a very,
the product
very
conform to the standard and to the law?
That's a very good question to leave them with. Last word goes to Pam Colleen. Pam, you've been on this issue like hair on a dog for so long. What's your parting word here for our city councilors who are going to debate this afternoon as the people for safe drinking water gather at City Hall?
I think the city councilors should invite Dr. Pollitt and Dr. Warshawski to go ahead and do this debate with Dr. Connett. I think that is the right thing to do. I think that is the fair thing to do, because all they're doing up until now is basically just ignoring anything that counters what they believe and how they continue to endorse policy. And that's all they're doing, is they're just endorsing policy. They're not open-minded to other areas of thought. And so to do that, to promote that, I think a debate between the two sides is completely appropriate.
And my word to them is, do your homework, do the research, go to YouTube, spend an hour, spend 30 minutes, and then look us in the eye and tell us that you're comfortable keeping fluoride in the water when you know the evidence strongly suggests it diminishes the mental capacity of our children and grandchildren.
Look, we had Dr. Osmundson on a few weeks ago, and he's part of a class action lawsuit against the city of Seattle for adding this poison to the water. You know, I think a class action lawsuit against the city is going to cost the city a lot of money. So, you know what? They better get their heads out of the sand and do something a little bit more to make sure that they're protecting themselves against this potential lawsuit.
Carol Clinch in Waterloo, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
And Pam Colleen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.